Thanks to Sunday for supporting FilmSack. Sunday can help you grow a beautiful lawn without the guesswork or the nasty chemicals. Full season plans start at just $109, and you can get 20% off when you go to getsunday.com/filmsack20 at checkout. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special little one-off special thing. It's a real special thing we're doing here on FilmSack. Yes,
we mentioned it's special.
It is special. We're going to do a little topic special because, look, we're a bunch of us are out of town and we don't like it when there's no content. Okay? We don't.
Yeah.
We're opposed to it. Yeah. We're opposed to it on a very fundamental, almost spiritual level of having no content. So we're going to have content. And that content today involves all of us here at FilmSack talking about, topical stuff. And sure. I think today, so we've been batting around this a little bit in our private discussions on Discord, but I think it'd be fun for us to discuss the role of trailers in our modern movie world. Like some right. people love them. Some people avoid them. Some people hate them. Some people depends on what you're looking for. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Ibbot, but I know a lot of times you'd be like, all right, I'll see these first couple of teasers for this new MCU movie. But yeah. I think I've seen enough. I don't need to see the 2-minute one that came out a month before.
Right? Usually that's the case. And I've been, I've almost been feeling guilty because I've been consuming every Guardians of the Galaxy 3 trailer that comes out. But typically, yeah, it's like, ooh, all right, I know I'm seeing it. I don't need to see any more. And especially if it's not on a big screen, like if I'm seeing another action movie and they happen to show a newer trailer for the newest MCU thing, then it's not like I'm going to do what your wife does and cover my eyes and ears. And,
yeah. She and was the other extreme I wanted to talk about and wondered if any of us here were like that. But Kim, if we go to a movie in a theater, which isn't all that often, but when we do, any trailer for anything that she thinks she's even going to remotely be interested in, she will put her hands or aim her eyes down and kind of do a blah, 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 blah behind her thing.
I am so impressed with her ability to do that because I don't think I can do it.
I can't do it either.
We have trailer night at my house. We will literally fire. We'll just sit for like an hour and a half and just do nothing but watch trailers.
You're more like me. I actually really like doing that. I can't get anyone else around here to do it with me, but I really like doing it.
Oh man, that's an entire night of just fun filled. Because because I watch so many trailers, I don't retain much from any of them. I don't like rewatch them and try to did you spot this Easter egg in the movie coming up? I don't do that. You know, we just watch it and get an emotional feeling. It's like, oh yeah, because if a good trailer should be fast cut, and I shouldn't really remember anything other than the feeling I had when I saw the movie, the trailer.
You see a lot of movies in the theater as well.
Right.
Do you get irritated by the number of trailers you see there, or do you welcome those?
No,
I get irritated when it starts to get to the point where I don't see why this one is relevant to me. So we saw Cocaine Bear recently in the theater, and one of the trailers that it recommended was the, not 80 for Brady, but another one of these, here's a bunch of aging actresses who really wanted a vacation in Italy and decided that if they made it as a movie, they could get their trip paid for. And I can't even remember. One of them's getting married, and it's Jane Fonda, and I can't even remember.
So you're annoyed if they try to shove something non-related into your face. I think that's a good question, because is that I wonder how many of them, I know there's actually a ratio and stuff, how many are attached to the studio or distributor that's saying you got to play this beforehand, and how many are part of the theater. Usually if you think it through the distributor, they're going to give you relevant stuff maybe, and I'm not sure, but I do know there's a system. There's all the trailers you see are not necessarily all the distributor and all the, from the theater.
It's a little mix. It's probably, I would guess that it's like 60-40. Like,
All
right, here are the five trailers you need to play with the era Michael Jordan movie. And then here, you've got seven more that you're going to play on top of that, or a few more.
I'm all in, man. Give me, I love a good
irrelevant,
trailer.
I'm out.
So what about this idea of this is one of the reasons my wife says she does this. She thinks the whole story's given away in 2 minutes.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Okay, so, yeah. but that's, okay. What is the what's the sweet spot, I guess, is what I'm asking? Because obviously there's a marketing angle on this. There's a, well, we got to make sure audiences understand what they're getting into because maybe they don't know what this old book was about, or, you know, like.
That's one of the things that does worry me about the MCU trailers is that, all right, so, you know, with Guardians of the Galaxy 3, we know we're getting High Evolutionary as the big bad. We know we're getting backstory on Rocket. We know that both Mantis and Star-Lord are very sad about something. And so obviously that leads us to believe that something happens to any of the other three plus characters it could be if you had Cosmo and
are you ruining this film for me right now?
Because you've been avoiding Guardians of the Galaxy trailers.
I haven't seen any.
Right.
Have you been I was actually
spoiled the trailer for you, Randy.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Now, if you haven't guessed, Randy is the anti-trailer guy.
I didn't used to be for a good 12, 14 years.
What changed? Did they start doing something that pissed you off and you're like, forget it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. So going back to the late 90s, I'm going to the movies every weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, every weekend I'm going to the movies. And that goes on for 12 or 14 years. And, you know, so I saw every new movie, you know, that I could stand. And there's a thing that was happening throughout that time frame where the start time of the trailers started moving closer to the start time of the film.
Right.
And then at some point they started coinciding. So the time listed for the movie to start was actually when the trailers would start. And then it went farther. And you would the start time the movie was listed is actually the start time of the Coca-Cola commercial and, you know, so forth. Oh my God.
That might be a regional thing because I don't ever remember a time, and we were doing the same thing, going to theaters every Friday night. Whatever was the newest movies, we like three to choose from, we were seeing one of those. And I don't ever remember a time here in Denver that the start time wasn't the time they started, that the house lights dimmed and you got the whatever commercial and then the trailers and then the movie.
So
AMC warning you to turn off your phones and all that.
Right.
So that's a thing. And that doesn't really have anything to do with the trailers themselves. It's just a thing that movie theaters started doing because they felt it was better for their business.
Right.
And during the 2010s, I started keeping track of the time that the movie actually started.
I can see Randy with his little notepad.
and there was a point where it was like the movies were starting 7 minutes later and then they were starting 12 minutes later and it got to be like 18 minutes in past the start time is when the movie actually started. And so you could just show up late. You could show up really late.
So you're the Schlemiel that has to climb over all of our extended recliner leg seats.
Right.
No, I'm front row Joe. I'm the guy who's been there from the beginning. God. I'm saying that other people start coming into the movies so late.
I thought that's how
late.
You were avoiding trailers is by showing up after all the trailers have played.
I'll tell you another thing that happened is smartphones got real good and AirPods got real good. Mm. And so when the time came that I decided I'm not going to watch trailers anymore.
God.
I just learned that I could just put my AirPods in and play Candy Crush during those trailers.
Oh my God, I did not know that Randy was the jackass that I hated the theater who's front row Joe. Why are you sitting in the front row? I can see you. I'm trying to watch the trailer.
Yeah, but he's doing it. I don't think.
Facebook.
Hold on. In Randy's defense, I don't think anybody should, like the movie going experience, turn off your damn phones.
Right.
Trailers,
I know. I'm a movie Nazi, leaning about the during trailer use of phones.
I used to be really precious about trailers, and that was like there's like a peak of trailers where movies like Tropic Thunder and Grindhouse come along with fake trailers, right?
Right.
And I used to really, really. But anyway, in the lead up to The Force Awakens, specifically. Right. I just decided, you know, I've been really spoiled lately by trailers. I've been like, I've had movies ruined for me by trailers before The Force Awakens. And everybody was talking about, hey, they're going to show the new Force Awakens trailer, like the first big showing of that trailer. It was like an event. And I just decided I'm going to try to see if I can make it all the way for over a year to watch The Force Awakens without watching any trailers or any preview at all and see how that goes for me. And I loved that movie so much. And there were people around me that were like not as high on it. And I just all at once, I'm like, okay, I'm not watching trailers anymore. This is a thing for me.
What, right.
And I stopped.
There's two things I want to know from maybe for everybody. I want to know, this is how I look at movies when I go see a movie. I only go see a movie. That's it. When it's movie day, it is movie day. There's nothing else involved. There's not going out to eat. There's not doing anything before. There's not doing anything after. It is effing movie day. And so I go and I will watch the trailers and I'll look over at whoever's with me. I'll go, all this in a movie too? Because I like to take the whole thing in. The movie experience to me is arriving early, you know, chit-chatting up with other movie popcorn, lovers, getting my popcorn, yeah, chilling Maria out, Menounos going, sitting into the movie.
What's in the coming movies. Up on TNT in a few weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sitting at the movies and just looking at the screen and looking around the people and going, oh my God, these people love movies too. I love movies. We're all here together. Yeah. And I'll watch the lights, you know, go down. And I'm like, I ain't even looked at my watch. I don't give a F. I've carved out the whole afternoon for the movie. And I just experienced. I really want to know, Randy, do you try to like double up? It's like, we're going to go to dinner and then we're going to do this dinner and a movie and stuff. Mm-hmm. What kind of
what's your night? What's your movie night like? That's actually a great question.
Yeah. Again, like everything changes over your lifetime, but like part of the reason that FilmSac exists is that over years and years before we started FilmSac, I was going to the Alamo Drafthouse all the time.
Right.
And that is a very peculiar experience. That is totally a little different. Opposite of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They do a really good job. Like waiters coming and going with your food and taking your order and stuff, they're very good at not interfering with your movie watching experience.
Right.
But there's still waiters coming and going. There's still food that gets your attention away from the movie a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like the Alamo Drafthouse experience needs to be kept in its own little bubble. But
the
people who run that place are so – they're cinephiles. And into it. And, like, it can draw you into really being into movies despite the distractions or maybe in spite of the distractions. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's just a thing that occurred in my life. And I still want it. I crave it all the time. I want to go to the Alamo Drafthouse and sit down – 30 minutes before a movie, you know, and see all those trailers and so on.
But what's your normal experience? Are you time constrained? Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not just, I mean, Alamo Drafthouse does do it differently too, because it's the stuff you describe, but it's also things that are keyed toward whatever film you're seeing. So if you're seeing an MCU film, you get MCU content, like here's who the High Evolutionary is, or here's why this character is important and stuff. The Alamo Drafthouse is the only place I know that does that, and
I love learning about new pet peeves. As long as I've known Ibbot, I did not know that was one of the pet peeves of yours.
Oh no, it's not at all a pet peeve. I love.
Oh, talking about the I was talking about you were still kind of slipping back into the keep on theme. Don't give me nothing outside the theme of this movie. Kind of thing.
Not at all. Right. Not at all. Okay. No, it's, I just see it as a benefit. I don't like seeing
right.
And this is kind of this might be news to people who haven't been listening to TMS, but T and I have been since pre-pandemic members of the AMC A-list subscription service, right?
Yeah,
the club. And we were, you know, trying to use it as much as possible to make sure that we're getting our money's worth. And this is the first month that we've canceled our subscription and we're moving over to the Alamo Drafthouse's equivalent. Even though we don't get IMAX and 3D movies and stuff like that, the fact that Alamo Drafthouse has a zero tolerance policy for the things that irritate Tina and I the most, the talkers, the phone users, all that stuff. The food is going to be a nice benefit. It's going to be, you know, we usually do dinner, movie, and thank God there was a Chewy's right by the AMC where we always used to go, because we would always bundle Chewy's and a movie. But Chewy's in a movie. But with Alamo, it's like, all right, I'm kind of looking forward to getting it all at once. And if I get really irritated by anything, it's going to be the wait staff not picking the ideal time to walk in front of me with a plate of nachos.
Right. But my question was
point of the film. Yeah.
My question, I think, was with Randy not like, so Randy, are you real precious with your time? Do you like try to do multiple things now? I'm not talking about Alamo House. I'm talking about like now when you've abolished trailers and stuff from your life, especially when you go to the theater. I know part of it's annoyance.
And I just want to be clear, you can't abolish trailers. So if you love movies, you cannot possibly abolish trailers from your life. Obviously, I saw the trailer for Sisu. Like that's it went around.
Yeah.
It had a viral moment back in January, and I saw the trailer for Cocaine Bear. Right, like it's
right.
You can't avoid these things, and I'm not trying. I'm not like sitting in my living room and a movie trailer comes on the TV and I run out of the room. That's just not how you do this.
What's your differentiation? Do you say, okay, this, I know I'm about to see a Star Wars trailer. I know I'm about to see an MCU trailer, a DCU trailer. I know I'm going to see this movie. This is a trailer I can avoid. Or
yes, there's that. And there's the prominence of the film, right? Like Star Wars for me. And again, it all goes back to Force Awakens. That's a big, big deal in the life of a moviegoer, a movie aficionado.
Sure.
Like that, you know, Cocaine Bear, not so much. But also, I think it's real easy as a moviegoer to get a sense of whether or not a movie is going to be spoiled in a trailer, or if you care. If a movie is spoiled in a trailer.
Yeah.
And so like with MCU films, it's pretty easy to just say, you know, I go back and watch the trailers after I watch the movies and I'm like, woo, glad I didn't see those. Right.
Right.
Cause I'm the person, who likes Captain Marvel the most. Captain Marvel was an amazing movie and the trailers ruined it. Mm. And I'm glad I saw them afterwards.
Mm. Well, interesting.
Is it because you have the knowledge of all the stuff that happens in the rest of the movie besides the trailer that you fill in the blank and say, oh yeah, this would have been spoiled for me? Or do you really feel like all the scenes that they show in the trailer were spoiled the actual film if you hadn't seen everything else?
Hey y'all, how important is your lawn? How much do you love your yard? That's a fair question. Well, I love it when the weather starts to warm up, and it's starting to do that, finally. Getting out in the yard, digging in that garden. Well, it's a sign of spring. It's a good time. And Sunday Lawn Care makes it easier than ever to enjoy. And now the spring's finally here, the days are longer, the flowers are blooming, and I can spend that time out there and feel good about it. Why? Well, Sunday makes it all easier. Sunday has everything you need to get the lawn you've dreamed of. This spring, go to sunday.com/filmsack20 and enter your address and get a customized plan created just for your lawn. I'll tell you what Kim and I like the most about Sunday Lawn Care is the ease of use. They send it to you, you hook it up to your hose, you spray your lawn, and you're done. And I have a lot of confidence about how it's going to turn out because I used Sunday last year and it was a beautiful, amazing lawn from spring all the way through summer, even up through some of those early winter months. And I can't wait to do it again. In fact, we've already sprayed our first treatment and I love it. It impressed the crap out of me. It may impress you as well if you just give it a try. So if you're going to get serious about your lawn, think of it this way. No trips to the store, hauling heavy bags anywhere. All right? To come straight to your house. And you just need a hose to apply Sunday. You can fertilize your whole lawn in less than it takes to watch an episode of your favorite TV show. That I can attest to. Unless your TV show is like 4 hours long. But nobody's making shows like that. They only use ingredients you feel good about. No harsh chemicals. No waiting periods. You don't have to worry about your kids and your pets. Just simply apply, let it dry, and you're back to enjoying your yard however you enjoy it. Sunday is easy and affordable. Some lawn care services cost as much as $1,500 a year, but Sunday's full season plan start at just what? $109. Oh, man. And Sunday's offering our listeners 20% off. Full season plan start at just $109, and you can get 20% off when you visit getsunday.com/filmsack20 at checkout. Check them out today.
Yeah, so there's blatant spoilers and there's implied spoilers, right? Mm-hmm. There's like tone spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Sure,
we all know what blatant spoilers are, but those tone spoilers really have an effect on me. I think some people, they're actually the opposite. Tone spoilers are, oh, I didn't realize this movie had a mystery at the heart of it, yeah. You know, like that sort of thing. Whereas for me, a tone spoiler is a spoiler. It hurts me. That,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, and I my expectation, usually if it's something I'm going to go see, I want that tone spoiler because I want to know what to expect. Now, I do love occasionally just picking a movie off Netflix or HBO Max or something that I never saw a trailer for, really have zero information about, and just watching it and then learning, oh, holy Moses, this is a comedy or whatever. But before I went to see Dungeons & Dragons, I wanted to know the tone. I didn't want to show up dry and go, oh no, you know,
oh, this is comedy, what, or oh, this is like, yeah, a serious, oh, no, fantasy movie or whatever.
Yeah, but that's something I wanted to see. And why I want to see it, I want to see at least a short trailer, like Ibbot was saying. Now, I don't always watch second and third trailers, so they do get a little more spoilery at that point. But typically, a teaser trailer, which sometimes has no information at all other than the freaking title of the movie, you didn't even know it's coming out. And then you got, you know, your first run trailer. And they're usually, if it's a good trailer, in most of these movies that I want to see, are usually, you know, handled by big studios, and they got somebody who's, you know, smart about spoilers and stuff. Like even the spoiler for this movie, this trailer we watched last week for Nope. When I watched it, there's a trailer, and it's deceptive because the way they shot it and pieced it together, I thought one scene was going to happen. And we say this all the time. We see a trailer. Oh, I thought this happened in the movie, and it doesn't happen at all. And so I think a competent trailer, which people I usually trust, I'm going to be fine with. I don't usually see spoilers in the first.
The problem is most of those trailers are made by a separate entity. They're usually not even the studio or the studio contracts that stuff out. So a lot of times they'll say, yeah, here's a bunch of footage. We only want you to use this. And then they find out later a scene got cut and the trailer people had no idea because that was what they were given.
It happens.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I kind of get everybody's points here. I feel like my main thing with trailers is I find them fun. I find them like, oh, I didn't know they were making this, or, ooh, what the hell is this science fiction thing no one told me about? Like, there's a discovery in it that I really like, and I don't worry so much about spoilers, because if a trailer is the best part of a movie, that's bad news.
Yeah. If you can sum up movie in less than a minute, it's bad news.
If you give me the funniest joke from the film in the trailer, I'm going to be really ticked off.
Yeah, which happens.
They do so much.
Yeah.
And definitely I try to avoid trailers for comedies. And it's just real, real easy. Oh, like when The Boys was coming out and I knew I was going to go see it in the movie theater. Just like, it was The Boys? No, bad. What's the movie about the super bad sequel with little kids?
Oh,
Good Boys.
Good Boys. Yeah.
Good Boys. Okay. Yeah. Good Boys.
That's yeah. It.
And Good Boys
you
was
saw
coming
that in the
out.
Drive-in.
Yeah. When Good Boys was coming out, I managed to not see anything about it. And it's just like, oh, there's an ad that's running before a YouTube video I'm watching. I just don't watch the ad. I look at my phone or whatever. It's very, very easy. And with comedies especially, like, again, I hate saying this over and over on FilmSec, but like, you only get one chance to see something the first time. Comedies are really that thing. Like, yes, I can watch a stand-up comedian's hour special more than once and still laugh, but there's an experience there.
There's the new is it No Hard Feelings? I think that's it. There's a new Jennifer Lawrence comedy coming out that looks really funny, but I had that feeling during that trailer of, shit, I think they just said four or five of the best jokes, and when I see it in theaters, it's going to land flat because we've all seen it 50 times.
Yeah. Jokes are probably the worst spoiler in a movie because I turn my brain off most of the time when I watch trailers. And so, honestly, most of the times, by the time I go see the movie, because I usually watch trailers early on. Usually trailers are usually a couple of months, 3-4 months before the movie, and I'll watch it then, and I won't revisit it and watch the trailer over and over again. And then by the time the movie gets there, I've totally forgotten about everything that was in the trailer other than my feeling when I saw it, you know, and the general expectation of, you know, tone. Other than that, I usually miss most of the rest of the stuff, unless it's a joke. Mm-hmm. You don't usually forget jokes, but yeah.
Yeah.
So that's usually my trailer experience.
It's a weird thing. By the way, that is, I was right about the movie. No Hard Feelings looks like legit hilarious.
I think Matthew Broderick's in that one.
Yes. Really? Plays her dad.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I think something like that. That's a weird thing. He's playing someone's dad. but it's directed by this dude who made Good Boys. He wrote Good Boys, rather. Bad Teacher, did a bunch of Office stuff.
Oh yeah,
Bad Teacher. He's executive producer on that new Jury Duty thing, which I kind of been wanting to watch. Anyway, it's supposed to be really funny, and it was the one trailer where I laughed at the trailer. Like, I'm not used to laughing at a comedy trailer, but then it hit me. I'm like, am I going to laugh at this? And when I see it, like, is this ruined it for me? Is this one joke going to not land? And oh, I kind of had a feeling of like, turn off this trailer. Why are you doing this? So maybe I have a comedy thing,
right? But if the comedy thing only has one or two jokes, once, like you said earlier, then it's in trouble.
Yeah.
And, well, you'll find that out later. Like, and that's the wonderful thing about my ignoring trailers time in my life is when the movie comes out and it sucks. I not only did I save some time not watching any of these trailers, but I find out really, really fast. Mm-hmm, right. You know, people let you know, oh, that you can skip this one. I'm like, okay, good, great, I'm golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, super interesting. Check out this Jury Duty description. It's on Freevee, which annoys me because I have to do ads over there.
Right.
It says it follows the workings of an American jury trial through the eyes of Ronald Gladden, a juror who is unaware that the entire case is fake. Everyone except him as an actor. And it's supposed to be really funny because people like... well, it's a comedy, but it's James Marsden. Yeah,
Marsden plays himself, but a dick version of himself.
Yeah, and he's like always having to explain people what cool stuff he was in and all that.
Oh,
I think this looks great.
I put this on my list as soon as I heard about it because it feels like the kind of reality garbage that I like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it looks great. And it's got really good reviews. Anyway.
The original Schmo show is one of my favorite things that's ever been on TV.
Mm-hmm. I never saw that. Yeah. I should have.
So there's a little side discussion on the trailer discussion, and I just have to bring it up. It doesn't have anything to do with how I approach movies. It just drives me absolutely crazy, and that is, over the last 3 years, since the pandemic, for some reason, someone got it into their mind, and it is in everything, every part of entertainment, someone got it in their mind that a trailer should start with a couple of seconds of spoiling the upcoming trailer.
Yeah, it's weird. That's been going on this new trend.
Yeah.
Anytime you're on YouTube, it's like, it's so weird. It's like 2 seconds of the trailer.
Across
and then the trailer.
Across the Spider-Verse trailer starting in 3, 2, 1.
Why? Why is that, do you think? I don't like
everyone.
Engagement.
I think it's to give you time to hit the little button on the bottom right corner of YouTube that makes it full screen.
I think
that's what I'd like it to do.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
To be.
They probably have some data that says that people are more likely to stay for the whole trailer if they see a teaser at the beginning of the trailer, but I don't like it. Because
they're probably most likely to leave within the first ever many seconds or something. And so instead of doing that boring.
You're starting to see with video games, the recent trailer that Blizzard put out for the Diablo beta had a big upfront teaser for it.
The new never Zelda spoken game has that too.
Yeah.
I would like to hear from someone who likes it because every person I've ever talked to about this does not like it. They think it is such a strange thing that you're about to watch an advertisement and it's advertising itself and it's showing you what you're about to see.
Right.
You know, like,
I think it sucks, but it's also the way I feel about like algorithms on social media, but they have data that shows that they get way more engagement on algorithmic feeds than they do people's follow chronological feeds. So this feels like one of those things. It's like, speaking of spoilers, there's that whole study, big study, that I don't have it in front of me, but shows that we like being spoiled. We just don't think we do. But nobody wants to hear that. They all hate hearing it. And it may be true. And it's like this. It may be true that this thing, the little stinger, makes us stick around for the full trailer more often than not. But we still hate it, even though it does its job. Like, I feel like that's one of these deals.
It does the marketing job, meaning that we're going to go see it because we do feel like something's valuable there, maybe. But then... That doesn't translate to our enjoyment, right?
No, no. And that's the key, right? I'm not actually saying we secretly enjoy it. I'm saying the opposite.
Right. The data shows
they're just manipulating human behavior, and I hate that.
Right.
That's what I hate. I hate that I'm getting yanked around like a puppet. Somebody's got their hand up my butt, and my googly eyes are just moving. You know,
right?
Using my data, and I didn't want it, but it's working for me, but I hate that they're doing it.
You bastards. Right. All right, before we get out of here, I want to throw it over to Randy, who has prepared some sort of quiz for us. Randy, do you want to go ahead and throw this on us? What do we got here?
So we're this is 597. This is episode 597 of Film Sack, guys.
Look at
is
us.
That right, or is it 598?
590.
This might be 598.
I can tell you, 598 is correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're so, almost 600. 600,
so
baby.
If nothing else changes, we're going to watch Cocaine Bear for episode 600.
Dang it. I was hoping we had a movie that had the names, that had the word 600 in it, like 300 did, but I don't think
there is. Oh, that was our. Looked, yeah, that was yeah. good.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
I looked really hard.
Darn it.
Anyway, I'm just really proud of us. I feel so like pleased that all four of us have stuck together and mm-hmm. we've seen so many movies and so many things, and it's like it starts to blur.
Yeah,
it really right. starts to blur.
Very, very evident by, wait, did we?
Yeah, did we sack that? Hold on. Quick sack dot Lee.
So I was just looking through our whole list, and I'm going to ask you guys to please not open the list. Please just like.
You have this, a list?
Play this fair.
Like please quick sack play this dot fair. Lie. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Play fair with me here.
All right.
And I'm going to ask you some trivia questions about Film Sack itself.
All right. Okay. If we get it right, right, it'll be. So,
and we're going to see wrong. Who. There we're going to see who wins. You're going to get a point if you get the question right, and then I'm going to give the other two a steal opportunity if you don't. Okay?
Okay. I'd like a steal, Mr.
All right, so here we go. Right. Brian Ibbett.
Yeah.
Our first full October was October 2010. We did not call it Sacktober back then. Mm. And while we started the month with Jason Goes to Hell, believe it or not, that was the only scary movie we watched in that first October 2010. Okay. Which one of these films did we also sack in that first October?
Okay.
A, Every Which Way But Loose. B, Top Gun. C, Hackers. D, Time Bandits.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's more about me thinking, all right, which of those four did we sack earliest?
And yeah, that's where I went.
And I'm going to tell you, I've made this a little easy. Like all of the non-answers, the wrong answers, mm-hmm. are from years away.
Are
from,
they? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like Time Bandits was a later sack for us. I feel like Top Gun was a later sack for us. But Every Which Way But Loose feels like the earliest of all of those. I'm going to guess Every Which Way.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
I want to steal.
I want to steal. Dunaway.
I think it was Top Gun because I think Top Gun was older than you think.
Yes, you're correct. Top
it wasn't
Gun.
Really. Well, yeah. we Top was Gun in our in first October.
Year. That's why I wrote this question down because it surprised me that we sacked Top Gun in the first year of Film Sack.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Scott Johnson.
Go.
Film Sack can really stretch the feeling of time.
Yeah.
which of the following films have we sacked the most recently? Mm-hmm. A, Poltergeist 2. Mm-hmm. B, Dukes of Hazzard. Mm-hmm. C, 8 Mile. D, The Village.
Something tells me Poltergeist 2 for some reason.
Oh, that's what I was feeling. That was what I was feeling as well.
Yeah.
You're correct. That is the most recent.
Nicely done.
I really felt like we've sacked The Village more recently than Poltergeist 2.
Yeah. Oh, no. I remember Village being a while ago.
What part of what made me remember The Village being longer is I remember hating The Village. I think that's what. That's what made it stick out in my head. And I know
Randy. You were scarred deeply.
Yeah, and I'm not just to be contrarian with Randy, who I know likes that movie. I just, boy, I really didn't like it. I tried.
So Brian Dunaway, 3 years ago in our first episode, our first episode that we recorded in lockdown 3 years ago.
Okay, about to say, that wasn't 3 years ago. Yeah, okay.
Not only was it our first episode we recorded in lockdown, we turned in our longest episode in the history of Film Sack.
Oh, God.
It ran 136 minutes.
Whoa. Yeah.
What was that episode about? Was it A, Sunshine, B, Executive Decision, C, GoldenEye, or D, Expendables 3?
Ooh, those, that's a hard that's one, tough. Dude.
Yeah, you got a hard one here.
No, I'm kidding.
And again, the wrong answers are years away.
yeah. And it feels like Expendables 3 was right there at the beginning of the pandemic, but I'm not 100% sure on that. It seems like we would have a lot of characters to talk about, so I just logically that's what I'm going with.
All right.
Sorry that's wrong. Anybody else?
I'll jump in. So give me the other three again, because I know
Sunshine, B, Executive Decision, and C, GoldenEye.
I'm going to say, because I think Executive Decision was newer than the other than the lockdowns.
That's
so I'm going to guess Sunshine.
Really?
That is also incorrect. Ah, it was GoldenEye.
GoldenEye. Really?
Okay.
Wow.
That was our first lockdown film that we sacked. And I'll bet you, I didn't go back and listen to it, but I'll bet you we talked a lot about being in lockdown.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
You can say that that's 15, a good point. You can say 15, point. 14 years or whatever, it makes everything a blur. That 3 years really a blur.
Yeah. It really was, right. Yeah. No yeah, kidding.
That's the heart. That's a weird zone right there, the wow, Phantom Zone. Wow,
GoldenEye. Huh.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, Brian Ebbett, back to you. Probably an easy question. We've had a lot of watch-alongs over the years.
Sure.
And our first was for a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Which movie? Was it Street Fighter, B, Sudden Death, C, Hard Target, or D, Time Cop?
I think we watched Sudden Death as a watch-along, so I'm going to say it's Sudden Death.
I agree.
It was, and that was our first watch-along. Can you believe it?
Oh, really?
I would have thought Jackie Chan Super Cop like that.
No, that was
Super
later, Cop. I think.
Was later, yep.
You know what I forgot that what's-her-name was in that
Michelle Yeoh.
Michelle Yeoh, yeah. Totally forgot until I saw her.
And why did we choose to watch Along Sudden Death? I will never know the answer to that question.
I don't remember. Yeah. I think it was just on, and we were like, well, that sounds like it'd be nonstop talk about it action.
Scott, speaking of watch-alongs, we tend to watch a lot of corny TV when given the chance.
Yeah.
But which of the following legendary TV series have we never actually done a watch-along for?
Oh.
And I'm going to give you a bunch. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A, Dukes of Hazzard. B, The A-Team, C, Magnum P.I., D, The Super Mario Show, E, MacGyver, or F, The Fall Guy?
Which ones we not done or have done?
Which ones have we not done?
Okay, that makes sense.
I just named five that we have done and one that we have not.
Rip through them one more time.
The Dukes of Hazzard, The A-Team, Magnum P.I., The Super Mario Show, MacGyver, or The Fall Guy?
Super Mario Show we've never done.
No.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
I want to steal.
You can tell I wrote the question for it. Scott.
You want to say? You don't remember that?
Yeah.
Go, Brian's. Right. Three, two, one.
The Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Yep.
Oh, you know what? I watched a bunch of Fall Guy on my own, and I conflated that with me seeing it with you guys. That's effed. Yeah.
I was actually surprised that we watched along an episode of MacGyver. I thought that was going to be the answer.
Mm. Oh, I only remember it because it was my first ever episode of MacGyver.
Yeah. I was thinking.
And I think that was Dukes of Hazzard for you too, right? Wasn't that your first Dukes of Hazzard?
A-Team.
Knight Rider.
Super Mario. Have we done a Knight Rider? We have done a Knight Rider. That was the most recent.
Yeah.
Anything.
I love that. Yeah. It's perfect for this trivia because you just know. Because that's the first time you'd seen him, so you're like, "Yeah,
that's right." No, someday I'm going to make you watch the sci-fi episode of Love Boat. Oh wait!
All right, last question for Brian Dunaway. You probably remember our first live episode at Nerdtacular. It was for some giant worm movie. What was our second live episode the next year at Nerdtacular? Ooh. Was it A, The Search for Spock, B, The Punisher, C, Maximum Overdrive, or D, Masters of the Universe?
I know what this is.
Oh God! But then it all sounds right. But I think it was Maximum Overdrive, right?
I actually did go back and listen to this episode yesterday because I was like, "Is this true? Mm. Is this really our history?" Mm. I didn't remember it at all.
I already know the answer. I know. So he says Maximum Overdrive. That is incorrect, right?
Yep. Yeah. Scott knows for sure. I can tell.
Yeah.
Ibbet, do you have a...
Yeah, Ibbet, you try.
I'm trying to... I was surprised that the other two, I'm thinking you must have picked them because we did them as other live sacks, and I completely forgot. Mm-hmm. I remember doing Punisher, I remember doing Master of the Universe, but those, obviously, the rest of these were without Dunaway, right? I think...
Right.
Some of them were. Not some, all, though.
Were you there for... Okay.
He was there for Maximum Overdrive, I believe.
Right.
Was he? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to guess Star Trek 2 then.
Oh.
That is also incorrect. Scott, the second year of going to Nerdtacular, we were at Noah's still.
Yeah.
All four of us were there.
Yeah.
And what was the movie?
I believe I'm a little torn two on two. I know it's one of these two, but I'm pretty sure it was Masters of the Universe. Pretty sure.
It was Masters of the Universe. Absolutely. Wow.
Okay. All right. I couldn't remember because Punisher and those two movies, obviously there's a lot in common with those two movies. They're both bad. They're both Lundgren. Like I wasn't positive, but that's totally it. Yeah. I think I can remember them from, so you went Tremors, you went Masters of the Universe. Then we were at Noah's. And I think that first year was, or not Noah, sorry, Snowbird in that first year. Snowbird would have been
Search for Spock.
Search for Spock, that's right. Yeah. And then after that, Don't Tell Me I'm 2014. 2014 would have been, that would have been Maximum Overdrive because Dunaway was there that year, I think.
Yep, and then The Punisher, and then the Show Enough movie, whatever.
Was that 2017? 2017?
I'm all the way up at 2017 now with the,
what was that movie called?
We didn't have a 2016.
Karate Champion.
No, like not Warriors. Something with
Warrior Chief Monkey.
What was
Warrior.
It?
I don't remember, but it was a fan recommended thing. It was real dumb. Jeez. Can we remember this?
I have the freaking DVDs.
I know. Right. This is so stupid.
Last Dragon. The Last Dragon.
Last Dragon. That's why. It couldn't be more of a generic freaking name.
Yeah. That's why it's hard to remember.
Yeah. Well, there were no dragons in that, turns out.
Turns out none.
Not one.
Well done. That was super fun. I enjoyed the hell out of that. And if you enjoyed today's show like we did, then maybe you'll stick around and come back next week and listen to us again. This is the next time we talk to you. It'll be post TMS Vegas. So we hope a lot of you folks who are listening right now, we get to see in the next few days. And then we'll look forward to bringing you another episode next week. That'll be for Black Rain.
Black Rain. Not Chocolate Rain, but Black Rain.
I have not seen Black Rain, so this will be a newbie for me.
We won't have to step away from the mic to breathe with Black Rain.
Right.
That is the truth. But for all of us, to all of you, we hope you have a fantastic week, and we'll see you then.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.